and gentlemen, you are now listening to the Scare Blast podcast. And now here's your host, Lisa Burton.
Hi everybody, welcome to the Scare Blast podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Burton, and today I am joined by Tim Dunn, an actor improviser here in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Tim.
Thank you for having me, Lisa.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
Of course.
Tim chose the movie The Descent to watch. This 2005 thriller set in a cave with a bunch of girls. We'll talk about it in just a second. But Tim, please, do you like scary movies?
I'm going to say not really. Okay. On the whole, here's what I enjoy doing. I, for many years in Chicago, would work temp jobs where, like, my favorite ones were the ones where you'd be like, you'd show up and they'd be like, you better have a book because it is boring. And what I do is just go on Wikipedia, and if there was, like, a movie that I knew that I wanted to know the plot of but didn't actually want to see, I would just look it up. And I feel like I did that with a lot of horror movies. That's kind of my relationship.
That's really funny. Why would you do that? What would your fascination with horror movies in that realm be?
Because I like the mysteries and the like, rules of the universe, which we'll get to in this one. But, like, I don't know, like, I don't know if you'd call this a horror movie, but like a Cloverfield, probably more sci-fi.
Oh, sci-fi horror.
Thinking like, well, what is the monster? And like, what are its strengths and weaknesses? And like, what can it actually do? Stuff like that. That fascinates me. Or like, I just recently saw The Babadook. Like, like, what is it?
Yeah.
You know, thinking about stuff like that.
Sure.
So I enjoyed that aspect of it. It's the same reason I think I'm drawn to shows like Lost, where there's a mystery to solve.
Yeah.
And they're creating a universe with specific rules.
Totally.
Yeah.
I love it. Kind of like Penny Dreadful or like all those kind of darker, almost horror. Like, I love it.
I think I don't like horror because I don't like willingly going into things for that emotion of being scared. I'm not a big fan. I like to be like uplifted, or I watch a lot of Marvel movies, is what I'm saying.
What does fear feel like to you? Like,
I don't know, I feel like so much of life is already fear.
Yeah, okay, great.
But on a much more, like, subtle moment-to-moment level.
Or, like, I guess what I'm asking is, like, what does that feeling feel like to you? Is it, like, a tightness in your stomach, or, like, a pressure on your chest?
For me, it's always in my shoulders. It's just my shoulders going up.
Okay.
And I think I heard someone talk about how that is actually an evolutionary response of, like, guarding your neck from being cut.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
So that makes sense.
So when you watch a scary movie, you're just always
aware of your neck. Uh-huh. Or at a party.
At a party, like walking down the street. Sitting in my room sometimes alone. This movie is so good. Tim, will you please summarize it for us?
Okay, I'm going to try.
Okay, good luck.
So, Sarah Carter, that's the lady's name.
Okay.
She is leaving someplace, and she gets in a car accident with her husband and daughter, and she's the only one that survives.
Okay.
Cut to a year later.
Okay.
She's having a gal's weekend.
Why not?
With what I thought was five women in total, but apparently there was a sixth.
Yeah.
That was really confusing.
Yeah, that was confusing. Mm-hmm. There were only five listed on IMDb.
Is that right?
There were only five listed on IMDb, but then it sort of shows, I guess, like, while we were watching it, I didn't, because also we watched this movie together. This is now the third movie that I've watched with the person that I'm talking to. While we were watching this, There just were so many girls to keep track of.
And not, I guess this is I'd say this is a criticism of the film. There was not enough that really set them all apart.
No, yeah, you're right. Now, before we get into this.
Sure.
Summarize the rest of this movie, and then we'll get to this.
So she's going on this gal's weekend with what is apparently a group of gal pals that just love
adventure.
Some of the most dangerous adventure out there. Which is, like, really risky spelunking.
Yeah.
And they are all seemingly great climbers.
Yeah.
And spelunkers. There was one offhand comment where this woman was like, I'm an English teacher, not a Tomb Raider. They all seem to do great at it.
Yeah, yeah.
So they go down, having this girls' weekend. They go to this cave. Juno, who we'll get to it, but she's like the experienced spelunker or climber, brings them to this cave. They start heading down. They're having a great time. They have a nice lunch. They have a nice picnic lunch in the cave. And then they start going through this one tunnel, and Sarah, right? Gets stuck in it.
Down
in the little tiny. Yes.
She gets stuck, yeah.
That tunnel collapses.
Yep.
They are then trapped, and they have to find their way out. Yep. And it turns out Juno led them into this cave system that was not the one they told everyone they were going into.
Yeah.
So that if they don't find a way out, they're just dead.
Yeah.
So they try to do that. A series of horrific injuries take place.
Yeah.
They eventually stumble across this subterranean, nocturnal race of... We didn't even know.
Yeah.
And they fight for survival.
Mm-hmm.
That's The Descent.
Yeah, so this one, I like this movie a lot because similar to Babadook, this movie to me seemed about grief and about the journey that you go through to get through trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So... you know, if I were to put sort of an allegory over the top of it, it might be like she has to lose her friends through this because they don't understand, or they, you know, they get down into this cave and she has to physicalize the amount of trauma she's been going through over the last year. And I do think the parallels there are drawn because she's down in this cave. It's dark. It's terrible. There are monsters there.
It's practically a hellmouth. It's a hellmouth. As far as we know.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a hellmouth. And again, it's like similar to the trauma of losing someone and losing your family, losing those people that are so close to you.
Yeah.
And that her daughter keeps coming up in her dreams too, where it's like, so I feel like the parallel is drawn there because her daughter keeps popping up. Mm-hmm. Any time she closes her fucking eyes, it's like her daughter there with the birthday cake and 5 candles. So
right.
It's very clear that they are down there. There are 5 candles.
But there was even that moment when she was looking out the window in the cabin and she imagined one of those spears or spikes spears that went through the husband's head. Yeah,
yeah,
through her.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, spooky. So all of that is, she's clearly still working through that. Do you think, so the end of this one is it's the American ending.
Yeah.
Where she comes out of the cave, she gets into the truck, and she has to pull the truck over at one point.
Great performance the entire time, by the way.
Yeah, it's panicked.
Yeah.
She's almost
scared to be out.
Yeah, she gets like more panicked and scared the further away from the cave she gets because it's at this point the closer to the cave she is, the more she has to fight things. So the less she has to fight things, the more panicked she allows herself to be.
Yeah.
Also,
they do the thing when she reaches the car with the keys up in the shade above. No one does that ever. That's and the doors just open. Yeah. Like it's such an easy way to get your car stolen.
Especially like in the Appalachian Mountains.
That's a free car.
Yeah, dude.
As far as anyone's concerned.
Oh my god. So anyway, yeah, so she gets in this car, she drives away, and then she has to pull over to cry and let it all out.
And vomit. From, I assume, the adrenaline just pumping through her, yeah.
Yeah, so she's panicked, she's vomiting, she's whatever. And then the last jump scare of the movie, she turns and it's Juno, right?
Yes.
The ghost of Juno is there in the passenger seat, just staring her down.
Well, and then we see a quick image of what looks like her waking up.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. We see just her eyes.
Yeah.
Right? So was the whole thing a dream?
I think she dies in that cave. I don't think she makes it out. But I bet you look this up yourself. There is a sequel.
Yeah.
And in the sequel, it's her going back to the cave. So canonically, if you believe in or enjoy the sequel, I guess she makes it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a better movie if she just dies in that cave.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bummer. It's an absolute bummer. She's not rewarded in the end.
No.
But, yeah, I think that is, with her sort of waking up, I think that's what we're meant to believe.
is that she died in the cave.
Yeah. And that when she hit her head running away from those things, that was just sort of a dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your thoughts?
I don't know, man.
You want her to make it out.
I want her to make it. Yeah. I really do want her to make it. But I think you're right. I mean, I think she dies in the cave. I think I wiped it from my memory because I don't want her to stay in the cave.
We can go back and look at that. We can absolutely do that.
Just want her to get out.
Sure. Canonically, she does. If you're a big fan of part two.
No, thanks. No, I'm not a big fan of any part two. It was not reviewed well. Trivia questions. Did you bring trivia questions?
I've got some trivia questions for you. They are not going to be as in-depth as yours, I guarantee it.
That's great. So let's talk about that very first thing that we were just talking about, the engraving.
Okay.
Sarah says near the beginning of the film to all of the women, and she says this, and this was what was engraved in the back of Juno's necklace, which is how we know that it came from Paul.
Right.
What was engraved in the necklace, and what did Paul used to say?
The engraving is, women be shopping, and Paul used to say, am I right, ladies? I have no idea.
It's love each day. He used to say love each day, which was really sweet until we found out he was a cheating bastard.
And he was loving another woman's body each and every day.
Yeah, he was, well, I mean, really, if we were to justify that, it was like he was just like living for the moment.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes that moment calls for other women.
Infidelity.
Kissing on them. All right.
Do you go back and forth or did you do all yours? Okay. This one's more, testing your knowledge as perhaps, a filmmaker. Lisa.
Yeah.
How much money do you think this movie was budgeted for? Do you already know this?
Yeah.
How much?
It was 3.5 million pounds.
Pounds. Was that one of your questions?
No.
Okay.
I always write that down. Do you know how much it made a box in the U.S.?
It was like 40-something or something like that, wasn't it?
60? I came up with 26.
Oh. Million. Oh, in the U.S.
In the U.S.
Okay. I think it made even more than that worldwide.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a bonanza in terms of return on investment.
Absolutely, yeah.
And like,
it was translated to a bunch of different languages and put out all over the world. I mean, this... I didn't look into like what production company put this out, but it was huge. The production of this was enormous. It was really big.
I want to ask you something as a horror fan. Do you think there's something about horror that lends itself well to not needing big stars as your protagonist?
Totally. And you almost don't want them, I think.
Because if that film was... I'm trying to think of good people for it. If that movie was Michelle Rodriguez
or any of the
Fast and Furious ladies, there's this, they're not every man like us. We can't see ourselves in them as much.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely think that. Actually, I was just talking to Libby Schreiner about this, how, when they cast their, like last year they did Seance.
Okay.
It's a live theater piece that is like a seance. It's very scary. It's EIC. And this year that they're casting, another one, they're trying to cast it with people that not everybody knows.
That's great.
Because, it makes it scarier so that when you're watching it, you're not saying to yourself, oh, that's Tom Hanks. I saw him in Big. I'm not scared. What is he doing in that cave? Why did he get killed?
Yeah, right.
You know, so that when you watch it...
I love Big. That's a great movie.
It's a great movie, guys. But, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're not watching it being like, oh, that old guy.
Yeah.
You watch it and you're like, I don't know that person. Oh, now I know them as a character. And then you only know them as a character. So it's a good way, I think, for actors to get their start.
Oh,
it's
not
a great way for actors to... It's not a great way, like, to instill fear, I think, for the most part. Unless I think you're in a place of power. So, like, Ethan Hawke recently did Sinister.
Yeah.
Was it Ethan Hawke?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And in that case, he's, like, the lead, and he's the protagonist, and he's believable as an author, as, like, a book author.
And he's, like, good-looking, but not too good-looking to the point where, putting you on notice, Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, check yourself. So all of the shit can happen around
him. Yeah. Your next trivia.
My next one?
Yeah.
Okay.
You've done one, right?
I know.
Okay.
They used to make... Oh, wait. Yeah, here we go. What is the first scene that we see what are known as crawlers for this movie? What's the first scene that we see a crawler?
Great question. So we hear them first. We hear their sort of like weird bat noise when people are about to go through the tunnel. But when we see them... My memory says it's right after the one girl gets that horrible compound fracture in her leg.
Ugh, Holly.
Yeah, and Sarah wanders off and really sees one. Yeah. But I bet there was a glimpse of one before that. Maybe when they were crossing, they were like doing that vertical climbing thing across just a ceiling.
Yeah.
And there may have been a glimpse there. I think that's my answer.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
That's not correct, but that's a great guess.
Okay.
The first time that we see one, this surprised me because I didn't catch it this viewing either.
Okay.
It's when they set all the flares in that large cavern where they were going to have lunch, right? Mm-hmm. And they do. They hear, like, the giggles of small children ones. And apparently in the shot of Sarah, when they show Sarah on screen, you can see in the lower... the bottom left-hand corner, there's a silhouette of one of the crawlers. Oh. Also, interesting fun fact, the actors apparently did not know what the crawlers looked like until that shot where Sarah points her flashlight up and they see one. So all of the fear those crawlers, that's all real. That's the actors like having, like they're seeing the crawlers for the first time. And apparently for that scene, there was a lot of them actually screaming and running off set and like laughing, dying laughing because they were all so scared.
That is a brilliant way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You go.
Greatest film critic of all time, Roger Ebert.
Yeah.
How many stars did Roger Ebert give it? He normally goes up to 4.
4?
He gave it 4 out of 4 stars. Yeah. Said it was the summer small-scale thriller he was looking for. He was waiting for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. Don't get me
wrong. It's really good. I can't watch it too often. Like, this, it's just not my bag. All right. They did not actually film any of this movie in an actual cave. How many cave sets were built for this film?
I'm going to say a dozen.
A dozen is a good guess. 6.
Oh, okay.
They built 6 cave sets for this film.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And they looked great.
Oh, all of them looked great. I was wondering, like, how stable they had to have built those sets for them to be able to crawl all over them, for them to run water over them. Like, that's awesome.
And they also... I think the director, I was going to mention this earlier, the director kind of had to make a choice at times where we sort of saw just the whatever lighting they had, whether it was the helmet lights or the flares.
Yeah.
But then at certain points we needed to have some sort of backlighting to just kind of see what was going on.
Yeah, totally.
And I thought it was really well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It didn't break the universe that much.
No.
So.
Yeah.
Lisa?
Mm-hmm.
Director Neil Marshall, director and writer. He did not do anything with the sequel to this film. But what popular HBO show did he go on to direct episodes for?
I'm going to guess Empire.
That is a Fox drama.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Game of Thrones.
Whoa, really? Yeah,
4 different episodes. He also directed for Hannibal.
Mm-hmm.
And for the DC Comics inspired Constantine show.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. So he seems to be doing well.
Yeah, he is. He's got a couple of movies coming up too, I think. Yeah. Sweet. I have one last one.
Okay.
So I did a little bit of research into Appalachia and I found this little fun fact.
Okay.
They used to make moonshine in the caves of Appalachia during Prohibition. What did they call that moonshine from the mountains?
Oh, Tim, you've gotten two wrong here, okay? You need to get this one right. Cave. Is there a cave pun with whiskey? Cave shine. Please let it be cave shine. I need this, Lisa. I need this so bad. This is all I have.
Or what?
If I don't get this right, I'm gonna go find a cave and just walk down it.
It's not cave shine. It's Mountain Dew. Sorry. Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry.
Wait, is it really Mountain Dew?
They called it Mountain Dew.
Is that what we named the soda after?
I have no idea, but that's what they called moonshine.
That's that really cool.
Came out of the caves of Appalachia.
Right.
They called it Mountain Dew.
Huh.
Yeah. And there are a bunch of there are a lot of
Why are you strumming a guitar right now?
You mean my favorite guitar? Miming it. It's actually not a guitar. It's a banjo, if you can see.
Okay. You're miming it, so I don't feel bad about that.
They used to play a lot of bluegrass songs about Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
That good old Mountain Dew.
That is a putrid soda. That is a disgusting soda.
Yeah. A lot of people call it squirrel pee.
It's awful. That's what it I can't like. Believe I drank so much of that and put it in my body.
I drank so much of it. Like, my family used to go through a 12-pack a day. Like, a day.
It's awful. Why?
So disgusting.
Like, root beer is the best. It's the best cola.
Or cream soda, depending
on I agree with you.
Who you are.
Either one of those.
Yeah.
They're both wonderful. They're not
very sweet.
An explosion of sugar in your taste buds.
Yeah.
Well, we can talk about that on my soda podcast.
Great. So. Talking soda. Tim, it's at least halfway through October,
yes.
Almost November.
Uh-huh.
Where can we find you?
Hey, here's something, presumably, unless I've passed away in the time. You got so upset. I'm sorry. I'm going to be doing this event for the charity Extra Life, in which myself, Clayton Margeson, and Kellen Terrett are going to be playing video games for 24 hours to raise money for St. Laurie's. I think I'm getting that right. Children's Hospital. We'll have Lisa with her link throw that up somewhere on the page with my thing.
It'll be in the show notes.
Yeah, please donate to it. Because I was probably going to play 24 hours of video games anyways, but this is a great way to get that done.
Yay, cool.
Yeah. But beyond that, I'm at Timothy R. Dunn on Twitter. I think Naps at IO will still be going on.
Yeah.
And,
when is Naps?
Naps is, that is Tuesdays at 10:30 p.m. And listen to my podcast, Talking Games. That's it. I think that's everything.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks so much, Tim, for taking time and coming out and talking to me.
Hey, wait, you know what, Lisa? I have one more plug. This is in the future, so my web series, at the time, presumably titled Bored Life, is coming out soon?
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bored Life.
And it went really well, and it's going to be turned into a major motion picture.
Whoa, what?
Yeah, that's just...
Directed by
Neil Campbell. Not Campbell. The guy who...
This guy. This British guy.
This British guy.
The Descent.
Yeah, the movie's going to be all set in a cave. That was a sticking point for him.
Yeah, because, they've got like six sets lying around that they're just like, what are we going to do with these things? Bored Life. Let's put Bored Life in it.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks so much for coming out and watching this movie with me.
Of course.
And talking to me.
Thank you. Hey, Lisa, I want you to know I had a good time.